Dr. Mitchell, welcome to A Roundabout.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
First of all, you're a physician, you're board certified in sports medicine, and you're the, is this correct, you're the team physician here at UTC?
I was the team physician, and I've now moved on into my own private practice. So I'm board certified both family practice, which is more general practitioner care, as well as took an additional year in fellowship to take on non-operative orthopedic sports medicine. So I basically am kind of your family doctor, but then I've got the extra training behind me to do a lot of stuff with musculoskeletal aches and pains. And then I've had my own personal experiences in nutrition and exercise that I bring to my practice as well.
So imagine, obviously, you get a lot of athletes.
I do. And I get people who are not even, they don't even consider themselves athletes, but they haven't realized yet and had that inner athlete tapped in them.
You've got a pretty dramatic weight loss story. It sounds like your journey started in 2007. You were looking in your own medical records, and you saw something that surprised you. What was it you saw in 2007?
I was looking back at my records, and I saw written in my own chart the phrase morbidly obese.
Who wrote it?
It was my own doctor. And, you know, much to my surprise, of course, at that point, because I knew that I was overweight. But there was something very stunning about seeing that phrase, not only, you know, in my own chart, but just written there in front of me. And it really was kind of, I guess, the changing point for me where I was, you know, I had known all along and had been overweight ever since I can remember being a child. And, you know, had all of the tools in the tool shed, if you would, to be able to translate to how to be healthy.
Yeah.
But something wasn't happening for me. And I just remember talking to my own physician when I was a medical student, and really cool gal. And she's like, you know, I mean, you're pretty healthy otherwise, but what are we going to do about your weight? And I was like, I don't know. You know, I mean, I've got everything going for me in terms of being able to successfully do this, but I just haven't done it. And she's like, well, what do you think about joining Weight Watchers? And I was like, no way, no how.
Really?
Like, that's not, yeah, because I just felt like it wasn't for me. Like
why? Because I know people who've done it and they loved it. They said mm-hmm. it was great, very supportive.
I really, at that point, was not into wanting to go to a social environment. And then I felt like my life is crazy busy. I'm in school all the time. I have to work. I just don't have time for this. There's no way I can fit this into my life. And she's like, well, you know, I just mention it to you now because I've been a part of the program. I lost, you know, about 30 pounds. And so I just thought, you know, it might be a resource for you. And it took me 4 years. And then it was, you know, seeing that morbidly obese written in my medical chart. And I was like, okay, something's got to change here.
How is morbidly obese defined? What do you have to weigh to be considered morbidly obese?
That's a great question. So to be classified as morbidly obese, we actually look at what's called a body mass index. And that looks at people's weight compared to their height. And so it's not one particular weight in general that classifies somebody as being morbidly obese. Morbidly obese is meeting a criteria of having a BMI of 40 or higher. And so depending on how tall you are and how much you weigh, certain heights and weights combined together might be less than 40 or they might be more than 40. And at that point, I had exceeded 40 for a BMI. So, and I knew I was putting on weight. I'm a frame of 5'6". And, you know, at that point, I was almost 250 pounds.
And it sounds like you lost weight, not like super dramatically quickly, not at an unhealthy rate, but all in all, pretty quickly, you lost the weight.
It was about a year and a half. And so in that process, you know, after I saw that written in my chart, I had joined Weight Watchers. And it wasn't one of these experiences where it was like earth-shattering, oh my gosh, my life is changing. It was a very slow process. And so over going to meetings weekly and you know, basically starting to change my diet at first, in the first couple months, I had lost about 30 pounds. And the exercise portion of it came from something that I had always wanted to do. I can remember watching my first Ironman on television, and I was like, you know, and it was this terrible race ending where, like, these women are, I mean, they are just flat struggling. And these are, like, the women who are winning the championship, the world championship.
And you said, that looks fun.
Yeah. I was like, I totally want to do that. And so after losing about 30 pounds, I was like, you know, I think I want to start training for an Ironman. And just, you know, slowly started incorporating exercise, got on my bike, started riding my bike more often. And I was really blessed to be able to be incorporated with a group of people right away in my family practice residency who were already into triathlon. In fact, a really great friend of mine, her name's Lisa, and she lives back in Minnesota. I met her on like the first day of one of my rotations as an intern, and she encouraged me. She's like, just come out and start riding with us. And so I did. I started riding my bike more frequently. And that first season, I started doing small distance triathlon and just found that I actually really liked it. And I mean, it was hard work, but, you know, I saw that the weight really started coming off. And in a year and a half, I was almost at 100-pound weight loss.
The kind of the old adage is eat healthy, eat till you're full, don't overeat, and exercise. And that's pretty much all you need to do. Is that true? Is there really some other secret to it beyond that?
You know, when you distill it down to the basics like that, absolutely. But I find that what happens and what's not translating for people is there's not a passion about it. And so a lot of times, you know, our culture is very much based, I think, on conveniences and how quickly can I achieve a result. And while that works for some things, it doesn't in exercise and diet and healthy lifestyle. There really are the building blocks of you need to eat healthy and you need to exercise. And this is where I feel like medicine and practitioners in medicine have really failed at that, because they don't, number one, being a practitioner myself and knowing how kind of corporate medical and healthcare functions, appointments are set up on 15 minutes, and you're lucky to be able to sit down and have a face-to-face discussion with your doctor for more than 5 minutes. And there's just not enough time in 5 minutes to be able to translate all of the really important aspects that go into teaching somebody healthy diet and exercise. And so that's where I've really chosen to take my practice with the Chattanooga Sports Institute and Center for Health, is to really make that the foundation of what I'm doing with people who have issues related to diet and exercise.
So that's why you say that a lot of physicians just have poor training in advising people. That is interesting. So in medical school, they don't have like a class on here's how you talk to your patients and motivate them to make changes they need to make, things like that.
I think that they have classes for it, but you have to understand too, Mike, that, you know, medical school, like for someone like me, I'm a relatively new graduate from residency, but med school, I graduated back in 2006. So if you can imagine in your own experience, like, do you remember that one class that one day that you had that talked about here's how you really key in on teaching someone? I think that, you know, the retention for that information gets lost along the way. And plus, too, I really understand the struggle that primary care doctors have, especially in that you're treating so many different things that to really be a specialist in one area is somewhat difficult. And that's why I've chosen to subspecialize, because when you look at diet and exercise and how it's related to so many what we call comorbid conditions, diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, just being overweight, osteoarthritis, all of these things together, they have that one common thread of, can you improve your diet and exercise? So that's where I've really, through my own personal experience, I think been able to focus on that and be able to bring an insight to the medical recommendations that nobody else, if you haven't had that experience, you wouldn't know what that's like.
You started Chattanooga Sports Institute and Center for Health in Hickson. How long has it been open? How can people find it?
We've been open now. We're on our second month of the practice, and the phone number is 423-875-1005. We also have a website, www.chattanoogasportsinstitute.com, and if you'd like to go on there and check out our website as well, we have plenty of information on there about everything from the practice and what we do. We have a Facebook page as well. And you can also find me on Facebook personally that links to the Facebook page for the clinic. We have all the information on there. We're doing a lot of stuff in terms of social, what I call social medicine, which is giving positive health information out over social media and trying to invigorate people to be passionate about living your life.
Dr. Mitchell, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.